Welcome to Scary Stories, the channel that tells you scary stories.
Skinwalker in Manhattan? Was told to Peter Bernard, read by PQ River. I walked home on 9th Avenue through my neighborhood at Chelsea, across from the church with the tall steeple, headed up to the supermarket when I noticed it. The tile, located between white painted lines on the crosswalk, spelled out in red letters, quote, Toynbee Idea, Movie 2001, Resurrect Dead, Planet Jupiter, unquote. It was an original Toynbee tile. I bent over to study it, marveling that I had never noticed it here before. That's when I spotted the smaller message engraved on what was left of the upper right of the tile, although partially missing what remained red. Quote, Every concept of past 500 Y don't exist in Christian heaven. They only exist in Christian hell. Unquote. The way the smaller message was written seemed to indicate that it had been done after the tile had been laid down, and therefore by someone other than the original tile maker. However, as I looked closely, I noticed that the letter I was printed very small in both texts, perhaps indicating the same handwriting. Either way, I reasoned, the writing seemed to be referring to the church across the avenue. I felt charged by my discovery. We have so many museums and galleries in New York, yet here was a piece by a famously obscure artist that actually seemed to be making a comment on the church down the block from me. We don't just have museums, we are a museum. Contemplating the magic nature of all of this, I went to the supermarket deli and had them make me a sandwich. After I left, I went back and regarded the tile a bit more before crossing the avenue and walking past the church, which seemed more interesting to me than it ever had before. It was a nice enough spring day, so I decided to sit on a bench behind the church and enjoy my lunch while contemplating heaven, hell, Christianity, and the Toynbee tiles. There was a winding sidewalk path that stretched behind the church and led up to the bench I was sitting on, and I saw an old man walking up to me on the path. I watched as he came closer, then nodded to me and proceeded to sit down right beside me. This sort of surprised and annoyed me. I wanted to be alone, but I didn't want to be rude and walk away. I glanced at him and made the assumption from his appearance that he was Hispanic. He opened his mouth to speak, and he sounded more like a Native American than any other kind of accent. "For what do you hunt here?" he asked me. "For what do I hunt here?" I asked back. Then I answered myself. "I hunt for solitude, for peace and quiet," I responded, hoping he would get the hint and allow me to return to my thoughts and finish my sandwich. "Solitude in public?" he asked, mocking me, adding, "You make strange demands on your reality." "Oh, I see. We're playing ask a question, then mock the answer, are we?" I snorted back. "So then, what are you here hunting for, old man?" "I'm just waiting for my ride," he responded, leaning back and watching the day. "Just waiting for your ride, huh? In the middle of this courtyard filled with benches, you're waiting for your ride. Visualized a UFO coming and taking this guy away." "Just waiting for my ride," repeated the old man. For some reason, I decided to keep the conversation alive. "Where are you getting a ride to?" I half expected him to say the moon or Alpha Centauri, but instead he responded, "Upstate. They've got a nice nature reserve they leave me off at. Of course, I've never gotten a pickup this far south, but I'm not worried. They'll come get me. They always do." "How do they know where to come find you, and who are they?" I asked, getting way too involved in trying to make logic out of the ramblings of some old guy who was probably out of his mind, or else just messing with my head. "They come when I make myself known. they respond to the power of my presence. Who? I asked. Who responds to the power of your presence? He thought for a moment, then replied, they are the people who come when called. That is all I know about them. My relationship with them involves little other than their kind transport of me back to my home upstate when my hunt is through each time. Don't you use transport sometimes? Transport? Like the bus or the subway, I asked. I suppose, he responded. What do you know of the people who transport you, other than that they do? Everything else you can say about them would only be guesswork, unless you were to stalk them. Stalking? I asked, not liking where this conversation was heading. He stared at me for some time, not saying anything. I could hear a bird in the distance sing a song I had never heard before. I began to go through all the local birds in my head, trying to place the song with each of them, but failing. I wondered what kind of creature was singing that song when the old man spoke. It is time, he said plainly. Time? I asked, turning to see. Nothing. Or, well, I saw the park bench, but there was nobody sitting on it. But standing in front of the bench was a dog. There was now a dog in front of the park bench that the old man had been sitting on. It was a brown and black dog with lighter markings around the face and chest. It wasn't large and it wasn't small. I guess it would have weighed around 50 pounds, maybe. It looked at me expressionless. I gazed around quickly but could find no trace of the old man. I was aware that I'd been daydreaming but didn't think I had been looking away from him long enough for him to have disappeared from sight. Maybe I'm on the Carbonaro effect, I thought, then realized I'd said it out loud. Puppy! Are we on the Carbonaro effect on the TV? I asked jokingly as I reached out to pet the dog. I was met with the dog taking a step back, crouching a bit and growling. I saw its back fur stand on end and I saw its teeth bared. Needless to say, I withdrew my hand and slowly stood up, backing away from the angry dog. I tossed it the rest of my sandwich and it didn't even break its stare into my eyes. It did not want the sandwich. It only seemed to care about making sure I knew it was mad. It's the scariest, angriest looking dog I've ever seen, I said under my breath as I walked backwards out of the courtyard and out onto the sidewalk. I stood in the entrance to the courtyard watching as the dog grew bored of growling at me, then turned and trotted down the winding path behind the church. Shrugging my shoulders at the entire experience, I turned and walked around to the front entrance to my building and got back to my ordinary day, placing all that had occurred on the back burner of my mind. That night, my roommate got a call from her mother who told her to put on the news. There, on the TV, was the courtyard I'd been sitting in. A reporter was standing on the winding path behind the church and telling us that a coyote had been captured there today. A coyote? I exclaimed, surprising my roommate. I thought it was a dog. I told her I'd seen that animal earlier, but had no idea it wasn't just a dog. I wonder what they'll do with them, I asked out loud. The TV reporter responded, the coyote is tranquilized but safe and will be taken to a wilderness preserve upstate to live out the rest of his coyote ugly days in peace. Aw, said the anchor lady, I don't think he's so ugly. A face only a mother coyote could love, responded the reporter, and both of them fake laughed for a while. I was in shock. My roommate turned off the news and just went back to talking to her mom, leaving me standing there staring at the TV, now just a blank screen. I asked nobody, did she say they gave him a ride upstate? That happened a year ago this April, and I'm certain on that day I was talking to a brujo. Not just any kind of brujo, but the kind that can shapeshift. A nahuel, noggle, however you say it, nowal, or a skinwalker. And I survived the tale because I did not encounter him while he was hunting. I encountered him when he was waiting for a lift home.
Come back for more scary stories.